Hello, everybody. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Today's guest is Liz Mealy. Hello, Liz, and how are you this fine day?
I'm lovely. Thanks for asking.
You are lovely. Listen, this is the website you want to go to. Nobody is cuter than Liz Mealy. It's Liz, L-I-Z, Mealy, M-I-E-L-E.com, and you are a ray of sunshine to other people. I don't know what's going on in your head.
Yeah, no, it's all projected onto others, and I leave nothing for myself.
Well, you're the biggest, littlest person.
I think last time, I can't remember, it might have been the first time I was on that you called me a pistol.
You're a giant, but you're so tiny. It seems like you'd be bigger.
I think sometimes both how I grew up and then how stand-up has kind of made you, you know how you feel when you're in a car and you feel invincible? Because of stand-up, I kind of feel like that all the time, and I have to remind myself that I'm a tiny person. You know what I mean? You have to remind yourself that you have a vagina and that you're a tiny person, and maybe you shouldn't be verbally attacking people. Like, that's what I have to do constantly
now. Do you do that a lot on stage or off? Or
on stage, you do really feel like you are protected. There's bouncers. There's other people around. I try not to. I do. I probably should have a little bit of more of a watchful eye of what I say on stage. But when I'm off stage, I have to remind myself on the subway that I'm not on stage and that I am a tiny person and pepper spray is not going to save me. Like,
what kind of stuff are you telling people?
I have an anger issue that I am trying to be better about. I have a problem with touching in general. Like, I don't dance. I don't go to dance clubs. I've never been to a dance club. I've been to like two when I was like 16, but it wasn't fun. I don't like being touched. So that's a big problem in a city of like 8 million people. So when somebody touches me and they don't need to be touching me, it sparks everything. Like, most people know, even my friends know, like, there's a time to hug me and there isn't a time to hug me. Like, I really get triggered by touch.
Can you hug hello?
Yeah, you can hug hello. That's an appropriate, and it took me a while to learn that, but like, I had a friend that literally almost like hug abused me. But like, I can hug now. But like, people coming up behind me, you know what I mean, people touching my face, right, people touching any part of my body, like, I get really...
What do you do?
You can see when I get tensed up. If you know me as a friend, like, I had somebody that put his hand on my leg. He was a friend. Not that good of a friend. Don't touch my leg. You could see, like, I get tense. And like, I remember,
why is he touching your leg? Like, making a point. This was a great move.
Exactly. Even like, and it doesn't always have to be leg. A leg could be a little bit sexual, but even like a shoulder, like, I get kind of weirded out. Especially if someone just puts their hand on your shoulder and leaves it there. You're like, this is like a commitment now. Like,
you know what? I have that. There was, I don't want to mention whoever it is by name, but there was a person that, like, I haven't seen in a while. It's not exactly my friend. It's a friend of a friend. I saw her at a show, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, good to see you. She's like, good to see you too. She holds my hand, and I'm like, holy shit, we're holding hands now. Fuck my life. I'm just like, when can I let go?
Yeah.
That's as soon as you hold my hand, I'm just like, when the fuck? And then I just freeze. I'm just in frozen motion, and I can't even talk to you because the only thing I'm going through is we're still holding. What's going on in your head that you're not uncomfortable? Why are you so comfortable with getting all up close to talk to me? And
oh my god,
yeah, oh my goodness. Well,
was it Nathan Anderson from Reddit, or I believe, and he would say yes, or was it somebody else? Some guest we had on not too long ago would agree with everything, and I never knew I never knew where he stood on something, because he goes, yes, yes, and then goes, so you agree, right? And he goes, no, not at all. I'm like, why do you keep saying yes? And he said, well, my therapist told me that, to give verbal cues that you're listening. So I think these people are taking it too far. When you're engaged with somebody, touch them so you know that they're there, and they're interlocking their fingers.
You're like, we're in a relationship now. Like, I don't like confrontation. We're now in love. Like, I was
talking to somebody, and this woman, she's right in front of my face. She's one of these close talkers. Oh, and I'm like, we're both married. Like, and I'm going to be the weirdo to say that. But
yeah.
This is odd.
You're in my space.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I first started doing stand-up, I used to hand out flyers to get stage time. And I remember it was like in Times Square. It was like these really tall European people. They were crouching down to talk to me, and they were in my face asking questions about New York. And it was also before I really understood some of the stuff was going on with me, but I was getting so angry at these people, and I was getting so mad, and I kept backing up, and they kept going forward, and I was literally like, please leave me alone. Like, I couldn't even express why I was so angry, but I was like, leave me alone. Like, they were like, oh my god, New Yorkers really are mean. But I was just so scared and just so upset they were in my personal space. But it's like, that's the biggest problem when you don't really drink and then there's drunk people, because that's the first thing to go away. People touch you. Mm. People get in your personal space. It's and I mean, my whole body gets hot. Like, my whole body is just going, like, it literally must be getting triggered the same, like, that fight or flight thing must be getting triggered.
Because I wonder if we have the same thing, because yours seems more intense, but I'm definitely, I think I just projected onto myself. I'm just like, I'm the weirdo. Everyone else is comfortable touching each other. And I don't get angry as much as I get frozen, and I get so uncomfortable, and I'm thinking, like, I just get so awkward.
Yeah.
I can't talk anymore. I can't do anything anymore.
You
but
can't
I'm
be
not
the
mad.
Normal person that you can be. Well, I went to a Salt and Pepper concert recently. I don't want to brag. Oh. but, you know, like, nosebleed seats, not anywhere close. And I went with my best friend from high school, and it was all of her, like, new friends. She was living at,
in Wait Jersey. A minute. Salt and Pepper, how much are these seats that you got to get nosebleeds?
It was still $10. I think it was just one of those things that they're like, wouldn't it be funny? But nobody understood that I really loved Salt and Pepper.
Okay.
So everybody was like going as a joke, and I was like super into it.
I would go.
But I don't dance. That's the thing. It's like, I go to support my friends that do music, and I just stand. I must be like, I'm the person when you go to a comedy show that's not smiling, and then you find out afterwards that they had the greatest time. I'm like that when it comes to music. I don't move my body.
That's Keith.
Yeah.
But Keith thinks he's moving his body. It's the funniest thing in the world.
I stand there. Maybe I'll smile unless somebody's touching me. Then the smile goes away. But I just kind of stand in a corner, and I appreciate it like probably the whitest person in the world.
That's what it is. These people, they're giving the devil horns. They're rocking out a little too hard. Meanwhile, Liz and I, we appreciate
it. Oh, dude, I'm absorbing all of it. Yeah. All of it.
No, I'm into that. I'm into sitting at concerts because I want to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be involved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Very rare. There are some, I think, that I would yell because I'm so excited that I yell, but I wait until it's done because I want to hear what they're doing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you'll see the people give the rock signs, the headbanging, and then you're halfway through the song, they get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Posers.
Yeah. They're not there.
No.
They're not spiritually there like we are.
Right.
So anyway, I'm like super into this. I'm actually even doing some woos and some of this stuff because it's all 90s. I can do all 90s dance moves. Those don't take
the
any
The hands to the left.
Yeah, I could do all that. So anyway, a bunch of my friend's friend were drunk, and she was like grinding up against people. And she came over and she started grinding up against me. And I stood like somebody was like pickpocketing me. Like, I just stood there. And my friend Amanda, she literally turns to her. She goes, and the other girl's name was Amanda. She's like, she doesn't do that. She doesn't. And she goes, oh, am I so sorry? She's like, are you okay? I was like, I'm sorry. And I got the most uncomfortable I've been in years. And I almost started to cry because everybody else is fine with this girl. It's all fun. They're all drunk. They're all having a good time. But she was grinding up against me and I could not handle it. I couldn't handle it. And then she knew I couldn't handle it. And I spent a good 30 minutes just going, doesn't matter. Liz, it doesn't matter. Nobody even knows that it happened anymore. It's gone. Right. But I had to know that I was so uncomfortable with another girl who, yeah, I didn't know her that well, but I really did like her. She was really awesome. But it was like, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it.
But I think, like, first of all, grinding up on someone, you might want to check first. But
Do you ever make up an excuse like your mom was torqued to death?
We don't talk about it.
Right.
I went to Lauren's friend's birthday, and this is a person that they go to the same theater company. And so this girl is younger than Lauren, and so that's the excuse I'm giving her. We go up to it, and there's already a party at the bar on the outside or whatever, and she comes up. She's like, hey, it's you guys. Yay. And I'm just like, okay, we're hugging. I'm ready for a hug. We're good with that. She's like, I'm motorboating everybody today. And I'm just like, fuck my life.
You can do
right
that
now.
Hold on a second. You can do that?
I guess as a girl, you're allowed to just make an I think it's very nice she made the announcement first. Many people don't make announcements.
Oh, my God. So I was like, do I just tolerate this? Like, how much of it does Lauren have to tolerate?
Oh, my God.
You know, as a trans person?
Yeah.
Like, oh, God. So I was just like, I just turned
to. Does Lauren do that? As a woman, I will now motorboat everyone as a woman.
Right. Girl card. No, you can't motorboat people. That is my private spot.
It's also, if I haven't known you for 10 years and we've talked about it beforehand, don't touch me. Don't motorboat me. Don't do anything.
Motorboat! For those not aware of what motorboating is, you put your face in someone's tits and you brrr. What the shit?
And that also depends on what you're wearing, too. Because sometimes that could be even more invasive than it already sounds.
It was summertime.
Yeah.
Need I say more? So the girls do breathe a little more in the summer. Fuck.
Well, allow me to say, as a man, that the country of Canada, I would like to motorboat you. Yesterday, of course, I said how you made me number one in iTunes Canada.
Woo!
I appreciate it very much. It is, how has my life changed since being so rich? Good question. It's the little things. I don't want to bore you. Plus, you wouldn't understand. But let me tell you something. You had the Neffels and Ted Alexander. They were at my apartment boycotting it because I'm a one percenter now. It's a lot of hassle. It's not worth it. Leave these guys alone. Now I get it. You work hard in America, good things happen. Should everybody have health insurance? Now I see. No. You have to earn it. With an Ethiopian joke. We're number six now overall, the entire world of comedy on iTunes. Number six. Thank you guys so much. We, of course, are going for number one, which, by the way, speaking of the Ethiopian joke, it is on, remember I said how it was put on Reddit?
Yeah, let's start over. Keith had a stand-up shot, and it was this Ethiopian joke that he had from his comedy album. Such a good joke. And it's obnoxious. You know, it's Ethiopian joke. What's it going to be, you know?
Yeah.
So it's along the lines that you think of. Posts it on Reddit in the subreddit stand-up shots where you post, you know, just you right. and like a joke. And
we mentioned Nathan who created that subreddit. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, let's see how it goes. Here's a joke I wrote.
Yeah. And people were just so offended.
They hated it.
Yeah. And you got some upvotes, but all in all, they were like, get the fuck off this page. So my brother Michael posts it in a different subreddit. Called I'm going to hell for this.
Your brother didn't do it, but it was put on. He put together the design. Like put, I don't know how to put words over my face. Right?
Yeah, no, it's hard.
So he does that, and then somebody else took it and put it in a different section. And the section is called I'm going to hell for this. It's number one there now.
Yeah.
So the point is, you have to
with
find
hundreds of votes.
Hundreds. You have to find your audience.
Oh, seriously. But and it's funny how people don't understand that it's like it's almost how people describe love, where they're just like, oh, you think this is what you want. And then you go somewhere else and you find that's a real person you're going to date. You know right. what I mean? What you think is going to happen. So everybody's just like, well, this is how I'm going to get to my iTunes. This is how I'm going to get to the top. And it's not how you get to the
no.
top. It's not even close to how you get there.
No. And you see that a lot on YouTube where it's like we spent all this time on this YouTube thing and like. Some dumb shit you throw up there gets you a million hits.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You never know.
Absolutely.
But Keith, congratulations.
Thank you very, very much.
Yes, I'm very excited.
I mean, it's a big day. The government is back in action. I wonder if that's related.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something you notice all of a sudden Reddit changes because the government's up and running
yeah,
again?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, now we have the time to not do anything.
Right.
Well, before we get away from this, Keith. You are number six. It is the highest he's been so far on iTunes. This is awesome. Such a big deal. KeithandTheGirl.com/clean. Don't forget to keep going back there. Keep sending your friends there. Keep rating, reviewing. Get other people to do it. It's a really good CD. We're not just sending you to garbage, of course. It's really, really worth your time, your friends' time, your family's time. It's called Good Clean Fun on iTunes. Please go do it now. And if it does reach number one, even for just a lonely moment, if we capture that or if you capture that.
Just take a picture.
Take a picture. Take a screenshot. If that happens, if we are in possession of a screenshot where it is number one, all of the rest of his albums, and that's nine albums will be available on iTunes for 1 month after that for $5 only. So you can get the entire collection for $60.
Oh, well, there goes your fortune. You're not supposed to do that.
Right? Easy come, easy go.
Yeah. This God, is what, you guys don't learn.
This is what I'm saying.
The not one even $60. You're right. It's like 50.
The 1% has it harder than you think. We have to hold on to it. And it's not easy.
Well, say goodbye, Keith.
I see on Twitter, by the way, that some people are rating the comedians directly that I am surpassing on iTunes.
Oh, God.
For example,
are you serious?
Keith Malley just beat at Louis C.K., mm-hmm. at Dane Cook, at Bill Cosby.
No.
And let me say this, please. I don't mind it. Have fun. Do what you do.
No. That's super obnoxious. Like we're not already like rubbing everything in everybody's face with technology to begin
yeah.
with.
Yeah. No, I mean, if it were me, I would sooner go like, hey, you and this newer guy, hey, Louis C.K., you and this newer guy are like side by side on iTunes. This is such a thrill because I'm a fan of both of yours.
Yeah.
Can you give a shout out to some to a person who's like more up and coming than you?
Well, you gotta get like, down to 140 characters.
So instead, just write haha. I mean, what else? What else can you do?
You gotta be humble about it, though.
I'm humble.
He's not going like at Bill Cosby, suck it.
Right, I'm not retweeting it. I'm just smiling. Bye-bye, Richard Pryor. But government shutdown is over. You can now see Abraham Lincoln in granite up close. If that's your thing. Museums. You know how there's nothing more boring than a museum? You can go inside them again. Just bring your mandatory suggested donation.
I'm forgetting what city, but there's a city that relies so much on tourism that they took out a loan so that they can keep some of their stuff open that relies on government help. And they're hoping to get their money back afterwards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I found out a weird way about the government being, you know, back in business, so to speak. I was carjacking somebody, and he showed me the newspaper. And I'm like, oh, embarrassing, you know, so I apologize. I buy him coffee. But that's how I learned it's not a free-for-all anymore. Yeah.
It's hard.
Speaking of museums, I took the bones that I took from the museum. I had to give them back today.
Well, you had them for a while.
Yeah. Oh, well. Speaking of all this stuff, like Reddit and iTunes and you just featured me. It's coming out soon, I understand. In one of your animations, Damaged, your web series.
Yes, I'm very excited.
I'm very excited. So thank you for thinking of me. Is promoting it and figuring out what takes, is that the hard part?
It's the least enjoyable. You know what I mean? Right. There's part, and I'm sure you guys understand, there's parts of using social media or even getting the word out and all this stuff. There's something new every day. There's something everybody's telling you. But I read business books. I like reading that kind of stuff. But I don't know if you guys experience this where, like, if it's for something that's concrete that you can say whether people are going to like it or not, you know what I mean? If this is Listerine, you know who cares about their breath. You know who's going to put alcohol in their mouth. I think Listerine's the grossest.
Right.
I don't know how people do it. But you find the market. But it's a little different when it's creative. So, like, I've read stuff about being a stand-up. Well, they're like, well, this is how you got to do it if you want to get a stand-up audience. But it's like, I'm subjective. So it's like what somebody's going to like of mine and other people. So then it gets kind of weird. And then you're self-promoting yourself. It's so different when you have it outside of yourself to promote something. So this is the best I've ever done promoting something because at least it's outside of myself. My image isn't exactly there. You know what I mean? You see characters. You don't see my face. And then it's more towards kids for the most part, even though that's kind of a little bit difficult because I don't have any kid friends. So, you know what I mean? You're almost going through the adult friends you have to the kids. And then even trying to find out, like, what are kids doing on the internet? I didn't really grow up that much with the internet. You couldn't even use it as, like, a use for credits for your papers. Like, it was just not something that was legit.
If I may say, I am a big get for you because in high school, I took child development.
Okay.
And cooking.
Okay, great.
So that should, they're going to be able to tell when I do my voiceover, the kids are going to be like, this guy knows something about
us. Yeah, this kid's connecting with me.
Yeah. His episode isn't out yet, though,
no,
right?
It's coming out the first Monday of November.
It sounds something truly to be thankful for.
Now, check this out. His is coming out the first Monday of November, and mine and Lauren's, can we say?
Absolutely. Yeah.
The first month of November.
The first Monday.
Oh, first Monday.
And then mine and Lauren's, we just recorded it today, is coming out the first Monday of December. And the first Monday of December is my birthday, December 2nd, and I get to be in animation on my birthday, which is one of my life's goals.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God. And you all have to watch it and share it because it's going to be magic for me.
Does it take anything away that I did one also?
No, mine is coming out December 2nd, my birthday.
Okay.
She didn't even hear that you did it. So shut up.
She was looking at me, Liz, like, yes, big hits, okay.
How could people find it?
It's damagedwebseries.com or just YouTube /damagedwebseries.
Okay.
It's about some robots, guys.
When you're looking at Liz's website, and you're looking at all the different cats she has, you can click on projects and see it right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well. I heard you say something before the show, gave me the vibe, you're dyslexic.
I feel like people just know at this point. I feel like I ooze dyslexia.
By how you text them.
Yeah. Well, that's like, I have a couple of jokes about it, but I literally say I like to tell people right away that I'm dyslexic because at some point I will be texting you and at some point you will be confused.
Right.
And it's just something that like, I think it took me a long time to accept it. We kind of talked about like triggers. Feeling dumb is a huge trigger. If somebody makes me feel dumb, it takes forever for me to forgive that person. I mean, like, I'll forgive you for touching me. I might never forgive you for making me feel dumb. And it sounds like silly because like
what if somebody, if I go, oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that response to anything.
But I've learned, I've also learned, like, I don't know how to spell words. I don't know a lot about words. Like, I try, but it's hard for me. So you might say a word in a sentence and I don't know what it means. And I'll be like, oh, what does that mean? And that is something that most people won't even acknowledge. Like, they'll just be like, oh, yeah, totally. And they'll have no idea what you're talking about. Mm. I've learned to say, what does that mean? I've learned to ask a lot more questions because, A, I think that's how you make good conversation. And that's pretty much what I do professionally. Mm. But also, if I can just admit that I don't know something, then I might gain the information to know something and to realize that it's just because I don't know it now doesn't make that me less of something. You know what I mean?
Keith has a trick where he makes the other person feel stupid for even using the word. He goes, is that even a word?
Mm-hmm. They question themselves. They always do.
And it's so good.
I like it. This is something I'm going to do, Liz. Listen, everybody. I was embarrassed, but I found somebody else who has the condition too. I'm dyslexic too. So when you see these mistakes I write, if I'm typing on the forms or texting you, I'm dyslexic. Because why not, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No one will know.
No.
They won't think I'm dumb.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, not bad for dyslexia.
But that's...
In fact, I don't even have fingers.
But that's the thing. It's like somebody talked about it, and I don't think until I heard somebody talk about this a couple of years ago did I realize that we're more forgiving of physical handicaps than we are of mental handicaps. If you have some, you know what I mean? If you're mentally ill, if you have dyslexia, if you have ADD, if you have anything that is considered a handicap that there's tools that you can maybe use to get better at it or just to overcompensate for it, then people are like, okay, well, you have tools, you're good. But like, people aren't like, you have a wheelchair, you're fine. You know what I mean? Like, just because they have a tool doesn't, like, nobody is kind of like, we are not going to give you any sympathy. But because...
Again, Keith has a way. He passes someone in a wheelchair and he goes, I fucking wish. Look at that. He's just sitting. Everyone's getting out of his way. This is magic.
Yeah. Oh, look. First in line. First in line with the new iPhone. I've been waiting 2 months.
I bet he gets all the leg room on the airplanes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you don't even have to do any duties like you do in the exit row. They give you economy plus.
Yeah. But it's like I've now learned to like preemptively say it because it triggers me so much. But it's like my best friend, I've known her since I was like 14. She texted me after I posted something on Facebook. And she did it the way that you're supposed to do it for somebody that has an issue, which she goes, I was reading your status and
I think.
Yeah. And I just want to let you know that if you wanted me to spell proof your stuff, I'd be happy to. It's not that I didn't understand it, but I feel like the way your lack of punctuation and your mistakes sometimes take away from the joke. And I think that's why you get some of the poor responses or no responses.
Oh, wow.
And she kind of pulled it back. And then, you know, she's the person that and all through high school and probably college, I was like, how do you spell this? And da da da. Right. So she gets it. But what I do get, and I've posted it, and I'm always angry about it, and I don't think I'll ever be angry about it, but like I posted something on Twitter, and this guy writes back, it's then, THEN, not then, or probably the other way.
Sure.
Because he goes, dummy. And I just took a picture and I posted it. And I was like, I think I found it. I think he's going to unfollow me because I literally wrote back, go fuck yourself, you fucking asshole. I'm fucking dyslexic, you stupid. Because the truth is.
Isn't it funny you can spell all that right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, how is that helpful? Calling me dumb. How is that helpful at all? Oh, you're so awesome because you know the difference between then and then. I know the difference too. It just wasn't there. It's just not there
Which's
half
there?
The times. I don't know. Right. But it's like, you know what I mean? It's not that I don't.
Knowing that never paid my rent.
Yeah, you know but it's I mean? Also like, what are you getting? Right. You knew what I was saying.
Right.
That's the problem is like, you know, people talk about like Ebonics or any kind of other like thing that like any kind of slang. And they're just like, that's not how you're supposed to say it. Well, did you know what the fuck I was talking about? Then who gives a shit?
Right. When you were dyslexic, before you really figure it out or admit to it, do you think everybody's a horrible speller? Because you see everything backwards?
Well, my thing is...
Like when somebody says, hey, you know those words? Is that a palindrome? You know those words that are the same forward and backward? You're like
Bob.
Yeah, all the words are.
Yeah. I couldn't,
all the words.
I couldn't read until the third grade. And my mom kind of like was like, Jesus. Because what I would do is I would just count the words in the book. Like everybody had individual reading time. And I was counting the words.
Because you can't read them.
Yeah, because I didn't know what people were doing.
Oh, you didn't even know what they're doing. And you're like, I hope I didn't go. Get called first because I never seem to have the right number.
This is the most embarrassing story I have when I was a kid. And this is how you know like memories like that really like kind of like burn into you. And just I must have been. So they had this program in the sixth grade where the sixth graders would read to the third graders. And I was so bad at reading that the third grader read to me. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know.
You don't even know. Like that's kind of how I feel as an adult. It's like as an adult, I'm supposed to have all the answers. Like I babysat for like 4 years while I was doing stand up. I had a part-time job babysitting. It was amazing. It was from 3 to 7. But the kid at 7 was smarter than me as I am as an adult. So he spoke fluent French. His mom was French. So he went to an all French speaking school. So all his homework was in French. And then he had an English class. And so my responsibility was pick him up, take him to his whatever things he has to do, get home, help him with his English. I'll figure out the French. That was it. I mean, borderline, just make sure the kid's not dead and he knows how, you know what I mean? Right. And he writes some words. I can't tell you how many times she pulled me aside and says, if you're not going to check his work, then we're just not going to. And then eventually she just got him an English tutor because I was so bad. Seven. He's seven. He was seven. He was seven. And I literally, do you know, people are like, you know, America's at a sixth grade reading level. I wish I was at a sixth grade reading level.
What kind of homework is he getting?
It was basic like spelling, but it was also like writing. You would write, like, if he read a book, he would have to write like a summary of the book or whatever.
And it's seven.
But this is the thing, is that I would read it and it looked fine, which is how my statuses look, how my emails look. If I don't read my email 3 or 4 times, and I think it's kind of made me a little compulsive because I have to read an email 3 or 4 times before I send it.
Wow.
So I send it, and then the worst is that somebody writes back to me, and sometimes I'll reread my email that I wrote to them, and I'll be like, how did they even decipher this? How did they even know?
I never felt that way about an email from you. That's so interesting. Now I want to go back and read all your emails.
Oh, yeah. And
it's like A Beautiful Mind or something. You go back and every email is like fucked up. It looks like cavemen wrote it.
Dude,
like,
I mean, I have to learn to let go. Especially, and nobody, like, luckily most people I talk to don't say anything. God knows if you write back and you've spell checked an email, we are never talking again.
I think once, I have to apologize, I wrote back, huh? I could have taken more time. I have a problem with words. It seems the ones that end in R. Okay. I don't even know if I said that right. You know what I mean? When I don't know how to say the difference between a fair that you go to and fair to be afraid, right?
Okay.
And people like to give me a hard time on it. But again, like you say, you know what I mean. Because
yeah.
I didn't say, hey, it's nice out. Why don't we go to the to be afraid?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know how to say the difference between bear the beverage and bear the animal.
Yeah.
But that was ever since I went to a bar and a horrible accident happened.
Yeah.
So I won't forget that one. But we all know what I'm talking about. You're absolutely right.
There's sometimes when you say, when you mess up ear and air, then I'm just like, he's talking about his ear.
That's why I add lobe to it now.
Yeah.
With no confusion.
But it's like, I want to know, like, I want somebody to do a study and break apart. Like, it has to be how there's little bits of power. Like, the thing I don't like about stand-up comedy is most people in it never came from power. So when you get a little bit of power, they just, I mean, bookers, comics, you know what I mean? Anybody, they just suppress you with this little bit of power, even though it's only for this little bit of space that they have this power. They abuse it. So it feels like all these people are going around not being heard, not being appreciated, not feeling like their life's going well. And then they see my spelling mistake. And they're like, well, at least I'm smarter than this dumb bitch. And it's like,
Well, what happens, because you have, don't you have your spell check turned on? I get that doesn't fix the banner
there.
And
Bill Burr has like an old joke about this, but like, you don't understand, it doesn't even recognize it. So what I have to do, I have a dictionary.com.
There's an orange line.
Dude, no, they literally, well, and that's the thing. There's a couple different things about dyslexia that people don't understand. So like for me, and I don't even completely get it either. So when I reread this email and I look and I realize that I wrote, can't wait to see you, it isn't the right way. It's weight, like weightlifting.
Okay.
And it's like, I know that's not the right word, but that's what came out. Like, it's weird. Or like, for some reason, I put, instead of like, let's say I say I like you, it might say I dare you, which is weird because you're like, that's not the same word. But for some reason in my mind, I'll look back and I go, what the fuck am I writing? That's why I have to read it so many times, because you have to almost take away from it to even know that you just, were you starting a new sentence in the middle of a sentence? But it's weird. It's weird.
That's torture.
It's weird stuff like that. But my...
You got tested for this?
Yeah, I was in special ed classes as soon as they discovered I couldn't read. So probably like the third grade until I think freshman year I stopped.
But maybe those middle school. Those classes are usually, at least where I'm from, everybody's lumped together.
Yeah.
Do you rule that those classes?
I think because my dad was so strict about being good in school and working hard that like. I was always a really hard worker, and I tried. So you're kind of with the degenerates that aren't trying. You don't know, you don't even know if they're dyslexic. You don't even know if there's something wrong with them. You just know they're gonna smoke pot soon. Right.
There's a new scar every day.
Yeah. So you kind of get lumped with these kind of like degenerate kids, where it's like, I'm not degenerate. It's just harder for me. So when they see that you're at least trying, right. I think that's the benefit that I had, is that my parents cared enough, and my dad was dyslexic. I'm one of five kids. All of us are dyslexic to various degrees. Like my brother, who's 10 years younger than me, is the worst. Like he was so funny when he used to live at home that like he would IM on my mom's account and he'd be like, Sam is my favorite, da 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 da. And I'd be like, Sam, none of that's spelled right. Like even if it was like a solid answer to something, I know when it's mom and I know it's you. Mom's not dyslexic. Like she's like super smart.
Well, what about when you have to handwrite something?
When I handwrite, well, that's the thing. If I'm gonna write you a thank you note, which I always handwrite thank you notes, I type it first. What I mean? So I type it first, I spell check it. But what I do is I go on dictionary.com and I look it up, and I actually have to find the definition, because otherwise I can't just assume what I wrote is spelled right. You know what I mean?
Because you might be using the wrong word.
It might be a totally different word.
They say it's because we know it, but they say English is the hardest language. Perhaps only tied with Japan, yeah.
Well, and
I'm being serious.
And really? I can see that. And I tried learning Spanish, and they say for people that are dyslexic, other languages are really hard to learn. And it's like, I haven't grasped the rules of English. Like, how am I going to grasp, other people's rules?
Do you have any other languages in your family?
Not that anybody actually has accomplished. You know what I mean? Okay. Like we're so Italian.
No one's speaking Italian to you.
Yeah, no. Okay. Like I think my mom's parents might have. But no, this happened yesterday, and I'm still like, that's how you know things like I haven't grown, because it's like still raw and it was yesterday and it happens like every day. But our place was getting exterminated, and the exterminator, usually what he does is just like knock on the door the third Wednesday of every month or whatever.
You're in or you're out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, are you coming or not? And it's so quick. And like half the time I'm like, people are like selling stuff to the door. I never go to the door.
Right.
So they used to have a sign up sheet and they didn't have it anymore. So I was like, I don't want this guy to leave. So I wrote a note that said, exterminator, please come to, everybody knows we live in apartment C3. They don't know where though. But please, please, please come to apartment C3.
I've narrowed it down to half the city, folks.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a map on keithandthegirl.com.
Thank you. I feel like people are putting together our videos from apartment C3 and trying to be like, okay, I see this sign, and on the other episode they had that.
Right. I've thought of that because we make some of our Vine videos in the hallway, and the hallway is very distinct. Like, you know, so I'm just thinking if anyone has ever walked into that hall, I'm always thinking.
They're like, this feels like something I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been here with a lot of comedians.
Now, exterminator is a big word.
Yeah, no, I think I spelled it right. I'm pretty sure I did. But I just wrote exterminator. Please come to apartment C3. Please buzz twice. Sometimes we can't hear you in our rooms.
Right. There's a lot of cats.
Yeah, a lot of cats. and then apartment C3. You know what I mean? I didn't put my name. I didn't put anything. I don't know anybody in my apartment building. So anyway, guy comes, fine, does his thing. I go to do shows. I come back. Somebody spell checked my note. Somebody spell checked my note. So they wrote two exterminate. So they put two exterminator, where you're like, that's not necessary.
Right.
And then there was another thing, like they added something else again that wasn't necessary. Like, can you come?
I hereby say.
Yeah, right, like something borderline that wasn't necessary. And then of course I did make a mistake. Instead of here as in like listening, I wrote here as in place for here. Mm-hmm. And it is a mistake, but those are the things that if I read it more than, I really scratched a note and threw it down at midnight. Like if I paid attention, I would have caught it. But I saw it and I was seething, because in my mind, almost like how we were kind of talking about how I feel like a bigger person than I am and I have to keep myself in check because I'm not on stage. I had to remind myself, that I live by these people. Like, I can't write to the fucker who spell checked my note. Go fuck yourself. I live right here. You know what I mean? Like, these people know where I live. I can't be, but I mean, I walked up seething and like Carmen wasn't home yet. And I was like, you know what? You know when like you're waiting for like your boyfriend because you just want to unleash your day on someone? I found myself being like, when's Carmen getting home? I'm gonna, you know, I had to throw it in the trash, and then I was like kind of like feeding my cat and doing all this stuff, and I was just piling stuff on this piece of paper as if it was like cathartic. You know what I mean? Like, I was putting trash on this piece of paper because I was so angry and I wanted to go downstairs so badly and being like, who did this?
Right. Meanwhile, it could be the friend of anybody that lives there that's on his way out. Yeah, and it could be anything.
Could have been Carmen because she wants to chat with you.
Yeah, right. She's just like, she just doesn't talk the way she's. I love her when she's angry. But a part of me is also like, what am I going to accomplish? Like, it's like that guy that somebody brushes across their shoe and they're like, I'm ready for a fight.
Yeah.
Like, who gives a shit? Like, that person feels so great about themselves. That's all. You're spell checking a note in a shitty apartment building in a hallway. Who, why do you have a pen on you? Are you a comedian? Like, what are you doing?
You know what? I picture Liz is in bed, you know, there's tears everywhere, of course, and hair is strewn about, but she's just talking to herself. Cause that's kind of pathetic. You're more pathetic. If I'm pathetic, you're super pathetic. That's actually sad. That is so sad.
You have to do
that. If you
that,
were
though.
Caught, you'd be embarrassed. Who'd you even tell about that great story? You didn't even have anybody to tell. That's so pathetic.
Yeah.
Come here, Kitty. That's so sad. Listen,
come on,
Snuggles, come you
on,
listen
goddamn
to
goddamn Keith and the girl. You're nothing. You're nothing.
Well, he's actually coming in next.
Spell check guy, if you're out there.
I do this thing with text, and maybe it's just laziness, but I'll type something. I'll realize I spelled a word wrong, used the wrong word, that kind of thing. But my thumb is already on its way to hit send. So I see it and I go, ah, fuck, I spelled that wrong. Send. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I hit send. Yeah. Of course I hit send, but I couldn't stop my thumb. It was already mid-motion.
Yes. Don't you feel like an ass? I'm just like, how does that work?
I feel dumb, but I'm like, but I could have really stopped it.
Yeah. Lauren was making fun of me just before I don't know who I was texting. Maybe it was you, Liz.
Probably.
And one of the words needed an apostrophe, but I wrote it so quickly it didn't have an apostrophe. So you saw me, Lauren saw me go back and put the apostrophe in there and just shook his head and just was like, really? And I was like, yes, because I'm capable of doing it and I will send the right message out. And I don't know what someone else is thinking. I think that you should, in text, be able to skip those. I don't judge people if in text, I'm like, I get it. You're sending me it and it came to me faster because you didn't stop and put the apostrophe.
Right.
But I am somewhat afraid that people will just think I'm dumb. Like, didn't you know that's belonging to? That's an apostrophe. And I'm like, I know it belongs to. I know it belongs to.
My wife will, I don't know if she thinks, wonders if I'm going to think she's stupid, but she'll fix things. If she used the wrong there, she'll do the asterisk.
Yeah.
And then fix the word. And I'm like, first, and it bothers me on so many levels. Like, we're not close enough. I'll figure it out. A, B, do you think I think you're stupid? And C, is the asterisk necessary?
I do that because I
know what it goes to. You're not just saying words.
Well, that's the thing. You know what I used to do? I used to do parentheses SP question mark. That's how I would send notes. Like when I was like writing notes in high school, like I would be like, I'll see you over there. And then I'll be like,
That should be my Twitter handle. The thing with the SP is that nobody bothers to look what the real answer is.
Yeah.
But you could. But writing SP is faster. I'll get this sometimes. My wife's name is Catherine, Cat for short. And people will write me, Keith and your darling wife, Kat, K-A-T, spelling? There's a way to see. Or even spell Henda's name wrong.
Yeah.
It's on the website. You've been listening for years. A spelling, no way to know.
Well, that's the other thing is that like a name is personal. You know what I mean? Right. A name is personal.
A name I would always look up. I would always look up if I'm sending it to someone, especially when people are sending emails asking us for things.
Yeah.
You're asking us spelling Keith's wife's name wrong.
Yeah.
Keith to spell wrong. It's like probably a keystroke because E and I and I and E, you know?
Right. Or you're just short. Like if you're so sure. Keith is IE.
Yeah.
I before E, except after C. There's no way you're wrong. So you type that. I know. But to just be like, it could be C or K. I'm going to go for K, but I'll let you know I'm not sure.
But like, there's
certain
things.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
there's certain things you know. Like, Zach could be a K. Zach could be an H.
I would look that up. I would look that up. And if Liz, if I was like, oh, Liz and your boyfriend so-and-so, I would have to make sure your boyfriend's name is right, spelled right, all this kind of stuff. Hey, Churnda, can I ask you for help with so-and-so? I'm like, no.
No.
And yet I probably will answer that.
Yeah.
Because I can't help it. But like, but I'm turned gonna, up,
that's,
really?
That's where you sign your name, but it's like you make the font really big.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why even go for it? Just write hello.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to guess Churnda.
Well, that's people not caring. And it's funny. They say about dyslexic people, you learn other tools to compensate for what you lack. And my thing is that I think half of the reason I'm as thoughtful as I am is because it's no bother to me to go look up a word. I look up words like I'm looking up a word right now. Like it's like every time I write an email, I look up a word. I look up the same. Sometimes I look up the same word. I don't know how to spell spontaneous. I don't know how to spell. I'm never... We'll learn how to spell spontaneous.
This makes me feel like shit. I still don't know how to spell the word entrepreneur. Yeah. I have been trying to keep that in my memory, and I will spell it wrong every time. I tried breaking it down for myself. After this show, I'm learning this. This is my goal. And I get asked to do entrepreneurial things like panels and talks and things like that. I gotta fucking learn this word. But I so heavily rely on spell check that if somebody looked over my shoulder, they'd be like, what were you even trying to spell? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know, I'm sounding it out. Apparently, I sound like a moron when I talk, because if this is how I sound shit out and that's the way it's spelled, I'm fucked. Michael, by the way, is writing in, Michael, my brother, when I hit send, sometimes by mistake, I hold my finger on the button and move off it to the left. I will think you're trying to swipe instead of pressing a button and won't send. It will think you're trying to...
Did he look this over?
Wait a minute. He's telling us how to not send, because I have done that.
So you just don't pick your finger up.
I hold my finger on the button and move off it to the left. It will think you're trying to swipe instead of pressing a button and won't send.
This is on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a good one. I didn't know, because every time I hit send, but... You know, I bet the mechanics of my finger are send and let go.
Right.
You know, I bet because the mechanics...
You started the process.
Right.
It's too late for you.
Yeah, the mechanics. He also wants to make sure that we tell everyone that your subreddit, I'm going to hell for this year, number one. And not only that, which we already told everybody, Mike Kaplan is number one on the LGBT on the stand-up shot that we did for him as well. Mike Kaplan, of course, is on our network.
And obviously just came out of the closet. Congratulations, Mike Kaplan. Feel free to add him.
His show Hang Out With Me is on our network, so check it out.
Yeah, I was on a entrepreneurial panel once, and I said, okay, I'll do it, but you change it to the self-employed go-getter panel.
Yeah.
And then I'm in.
But that's how that's why I love, like, so many, there's so many good, like, dyslexic jokes, or even just, like, spelling jokes. Like, I remember Jim Gaffigan had that joke where he's like, have you ever changed your spelling because you didn't know how to say a word, or changed the whole meaning of your sentence?
Yeah.
And you're like, I'll see you tomorrow, I'll see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
It happens every day.
I don't think
you realize how important that joke is to me. Every day. I mean, like, I've changed whole plans and whole meanings of what I was going to say to somebody because I can't look up a word or I can't do something. And I was like, well, I guess I'm not talking to this person anymore. I've ruined relationships. Because
that's what happens.
It's a deep embarrassment for me.
Well, Jim Gaffigan, he's very you can relate to him.
But is he number six on the charts? Is he number six?
He probably is, in all fairness.
Actually, he has a new album. He's doing very well. But because of him...
Oh, my God. Wait. Can I just look stuff? Continue your thing? Sorry.
It's not important. Who cares? Because of him, I don't eat Hot Pockets. All right. It's over.
Jim Gaffigan is number four.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Keith is number six. Jim Gaffigan is also number nine.
Oh, wow. He's just placing everywhere.
With different...
Yeah. His new album is called New Foods, I Know.
Well, I was going to say that's a language thing also. If you know another language but not as well, you're always looking for words. So you'll hear, if people are struggling with English, you'll see them use five words instead of the one word that you would know.
Yeah.
I find myself doing that in Hebrew. I speak fluently, but I do not speak like a native because they're thinking in Hebrew, they're dreaming in Hebrew, they're doing everything in Hebrew, they're reading, they're writing. I can a little bit, but I could speak fluently, but I notice, I'm like, oh, this would be so much funnier in English because I would know the right words and the right spot, and that's why I can't be as funny in Hebrew, and so I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I hate not being funny.
Yeah.
And so if they're all laughing and joking and I get all the jokes, I'm just like, I would have like a million things in English right now.
Well, that's what's scary about chat, because chat's so instant. So you can't take you can't take as many seconds to get back to somebody. So like there was a time where that's how you would talk to boys, especially like in high school. And I'm like, this is too much anxiety. Yeah. I can't talk to boys like this. Mm.
When I talk to somebody in person, I try to put them down saying they used the wrong there.
Good.
I'm like, I could just hear it.
I can tell. I can tell you would have spelled that wrong.
Oh, speaking of chat, when it says that you're typing, I start getting anxiety because if I start talking to somebody else in the middle of my typing, they think I'm thinking too much. They're going to read too much into my text that I'm about to send.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I hate the indications. I hate indications that you're typing. I hate indications that I've read your email, because maybe I didn't. Maybe I just clicked on it by mistake and hit unread so I could do it later. But now you think I'm just an asshole.
Right.
No, it's causing anxiety, guys.
Totally.
Let me ask you this. This has been causing me anxiety. Is there such a thing, Liz Mealy, let's settle this, as a shapeshifter? As a person on this earth that can change the way they look, I'm talking different hair color, I'm talking extend their belly as though they were pregnant, let it suck back in. We had a comedian on, Ryan Singer, but he wasn't making jokes. He was saying he knew a girl, a woman, that could shape shift.
Well, it feels like this is like, you guys cornered me. And then they're like, and we heard it was you. I don't know. Well, there's people that can change the color of their eye, and I definitely think there's people that can suck in their gut. I don't know if they. I don't know.
Well, one of those I can do.
Yeah, like I don't know. I don't know. That's some heady stuff I don't care about.
There's a guy that can, like, you know, I don't know how long, forever, hold his breath underwater. There's a guy that jogs in the Arctic because he can think about it and change his body temperature. To me, though, I don't know about this. And everybody's shitting on this guy, and I get it. But then at the same time, I was thinking, the majority of people believe in aliens.
Oh, yeah.
If you believe in aliens, though, isn't it odd you don't believe maybe one got loose down here?
No, I wouldn't even say that shapeshifter is an alien. If anything, I do think there is a power to your mind, and I do think people can do some crazy stuff when they really believe it. You know what I mean? But I don't know to what extent.
But you don't think it's physically happening. If there was a camera on this person, we wouldn't all see.
Well, you can give yourself cancer. You know what I mean? Like, and I fully believe that's something that you're capable of doing, that you cause yourself so much pain that you manifest, you know, bad things that happen to your body.
Yeah, but they've proven that. They've proven that stress could aggravate your body in physical ways.
So why can't I be blonde? You know what I mean? Like, what if this was the beginning of it starting? Like, I didn't even dye my hair. Like, but I don't know. I don't know if I believe it to the point where you become a different person. Like, you're a white person, now you're a black person.
Right.
But I do think you could probably manifest different things, like people changing their body temperature.
Chameleons can change their color.
Yeah, no.
That's creepy.
But we're not chameleons.
Sometimes.
We are not chameleons. That's a good point.
No, I mean, because, you know, frogs can catch flies with their tongue. We can't do that either. Like, we can't really compare to other species.
But if I saw a person with an extremely long tongue, it wouldn't blow my mind.
Yeah, you'd probably get a tattoo and become a lizard. Like,
I mean, we see people being born with three heads.
But their tongue isn't growing in a rapid fashion where we need to take them to the hospital, and that's the difference.
Derek Hemda, this person, right? After listening to the show the other day, I just had to write to tell you how much I appreciate your skeptical point of view while interviewing Ryan Singer. I have a PhD in neuroscience, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that you have better critical thinking skills and logic than many scientists and doctors.
Can everyone just keep that in their brain while I talk?
Yeah, can we take a picture of that? That's awesome.
You may not be as highly educated, but your instincts are superb.
But he's right.
It was blowing my mind that the guests so easily attributed the teacher-student story to the two of them communicating in their dreams, the idea that a teacher having dreams of a student might act differently towards the student, and the student may pick up on this change in behavior, is what I was screaming in my head before you said it. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Yes, I think that's Spider-Man. Yes, yeah. We need to keep an open mind and consider these. By the way, when I noticed this, somebody made this point on the forums, and I do agree. When somebody says I have an open mind, it's not that their mind's open, it's that they're searching for something kooky.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know what I mean? We need to keep an open mind and consider there are many things we don't understand, but if we keep our minds open too much, our brains fall out. And this guy's a doctor.
It totally makes sense.
He said, I'm not even going to touch that whole shape-shifting thing. So I assume he believes it. Thank you for being such an awesome interviewer and consistently injecting logic and rationality into Keith and the Girl and What's My Name. Cheers, Bonnie. Now, I don't know if that means she's sitting on a chair or it means she's raising a glass. Who knows? Who knows? Natalie from my movie, She's Crushed, she texted and said, I'm listening to this interview and the guy's blowing my mind. Right now I'm at the part where he thinks there's a lizard in his brain. And I go, you're not even at the crazy part. Which it is interesting. He went to the doctor. He said, I know I don't really have a lizard in my brain, but it feels like a lizard is scratching the inside of my head. So maybe you got, who knows, a worm gets in your head. He said, if we swallow 8 spiders a year, anything's possible. But why a lizard?
But why
not a kitten?
But it's also, it's a feeling, and that you know what I mean? You take the knowledge, it's not even the knowledge, your experiences, what you've read, what you absorb, and then you apply it to an experience. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I grew up around a lot of lizards, maybe it's the first thing I grab as...
Right.
But that's like, everybody's experience is so different, so that if we all see all the same, that's pretty much what our life is. We're all seeing the same movies. We're all seeing the same shit on the internet. But I grew up over here and I had this kind of parent and I did this kind of thing in school. You grew up over here. And that's how things get reflected back differently.
It would have made more sense to me, though, if he said it's like a Ninja Turtle in his head.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. Is it Donatello? If it's not, who gives a shit?
Right. You a Donatello girl?
Yeah.
Of yeah?
Of course, yeah. All the way. All right.
I think you were a little Raphael.
No.
He's like a chihuahua. No. Never see him coming.
Not into it.
He's hard to work with, but he gets the job done. Yesterday's guest, Kevin Barnett, told the story about him being a wingman. The story being real quick was that him and his friend picked up 2 chicks from the house. They went back to the house. The chick he was with said, I changed my mind. She leaves.
And she goes, he walks her out.
He walks her out. Yeah. She, of course, tries, hey, come with me, friend. You know how girls do. They try to ruin everything. Come on with me too. And she's like, no, I'm not going to come. I want to fuck. She goes, oh, okay. Leaves, comes back, tries to come back in the house to cock block. Kevin Barnett, who's not getting laid, is still a good friend and says, no, you can't come back in my house. I know my roommate. He's a decent person. I know your friend well enough. She wants to fuck. They're getting it on. Stay out here. I asked the audience, what do you think of Kevin's wingman story? I thought some people might find it rapey or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The choices were he did the right thing or not cool. I say he did the right thing. Only one person said not cool.
Mm.
Only one person. I'm pleasantly surprised. The one person is that girl.
Yeah.
But it is interesting.
Well, it's also, the truth is that that's the type of thing that it could sound really bad if you take out all the details. But it's like, he's a good dude. She's into it. It's consensual. It's fine. She's a Debbie Downer. That's what that is.
Right.
But when you start leaving out the details, you're like, that sounds like every story in the news.
You didn't let a girl back into her house to try to stop a guy from having sex with her?
Dude, she was into it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she was totally into it. I could tell.
Yeah. Super into it.
I love hate. Bring it. Hate makes me stronger. You know, Kevin. Speaking of, first of all, I have been alluding to the fact that you are a cat lady. You only have one cat, right?
Yeah, it's really fucked up and it hurts my feelings.
Yeah, I didn't mean nothing. But you love this cat. I love
my cat. I like all cats. It's half my Tumblr is just looking at other people's cats.
We were talking about this recently because I have Hugsy. I have a dog now. And we rented a kitten. They said
what?
They said we could try this kitten out for the weekend. They know we're going to fall in love with it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's how fostering is. People foster and then they're like, we only did it once and now we have a pet.
Right. So they're like, look at this cute little kitten. That's why you were interested in it in the first place. You're not going to say no.
Yeah.
We said no. Never. I didn't think it could get in my box spring. I didn't. I forgot they can jump, in fact. The purring, shut the fuck up. Turn the engine off. But also, we're allergic to it. And to me, that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend, you said when you were on the show, is allergic to your cat. If it somehow his pills don't take and he can't stand that anymore, if somebody has to go, the boyfriend or the cat, you said the boyfriend would go.
He's gone.
And he's gone. What happened? I do see you have a new hair color. What happened?
Yeah, no, exactly. I just wasn't
working. How long before it was official and you colored your hair?
Well, I didn't do it for the boy. I'll be honest.
Well, it's never conscious.
No, it was other sadness. I broke up with the boyfriend because of other sadness, and then because that other sadness got sadder than I did my hair.
Okay.
So actually, honestly,
can I ask that sadness?
It actually, you can't.
Is it a death?
No, it's a family thing.
Okay.
But it's just one of those things that is like I have a new joke about it. It's been the worst year of my life. You know what I mean? So
that's a good joke.
But that's the thing is like I have a joke about this being the worst year of my life and it's not just one thing. I wish it was one thing. Like I think about the breakup I went through a couple of years ago, which knocked me out. Like looking back at it, it was a year and a half of me. Like I started seeing a therapist then. I started like I don't really drink or do drugs anymore. I wish I could still do drugs, but I have panic attacks on them. So it's not even like a noble choice. It's just but I I was not a person. I wasn't a person for like a year and a half. And then this year kind of happened. And I was like, I was amazing at that point. I was killing it. I was doing like 15 shows a week. I was like running every day. I was emailing people. I was making myself go to parties because I knew I couldn't be alone. I was really like succeeding at depression. Like I was doing a great job. And then this year I was like, fuck it. Fuck it.
Is the boyfriend not working out related to the family issues?
It's related in the sense that that relationship took a lot of work and I liked him a lot and I wanted it to work. And for it to work, it was going to take a lot of work. And then the family stuff came up and I was like, it's not worth it. I need to put all my effort into this.
Right. So and you do put effort into things, right? You were saying last time, I believe how, you know, maybe be the older sister syndrome and you have to be on top of everything.
Oh, yeah,
you feel like you're the only one who could keep everything balanced.
Yeah. And it's funny now because like we broke up in April and I was joking with my friend. I was like, I don't really want a boyfriend. I just want a blanket, like a man blanket. Like, you know what I mean? I just want somebody to cuddle with. I don't want to have sex. I don't even want to know about your day. Like it almost just feels like, I feel like I quote other comedians because I've been doing this too long. And I also just love Ted. But like Ted has that joke where he goes, you know, being single is loneliness right before you go to bed and euphoria for the whole rest of the day. It's exactly how I feel. I'm busy. I travel a lot. I have a lot going on. I work really hard. It's right before I go to bed that I'm like, I wish I had something more than this cat. You know right. what I mean? And then I wake up and I'm fine. But that's the thing.
How do you break it off? Like, what do you say? That's always the most uncomfortable.
With a guy?
Yeah. With this guy. What do you say to him?
Well, it started because I started already putting my energy into this family thing, and he saw it. And I said, hey, I can't hang out tonight because, you know, I have to deal with this, and I'm really upset about it. And instead of being like, come over, let's talk about it, or I'm really upset, can I talk to you? He just said, I kept pushing him out. And he goes, this is – and so something that was already upsetting me to the point where I canceled on him, like – he made a big deal out of that. Okay. And I was like, so I'm already upset and now we're having a fight about you being upset. I'm done. I'm not gonna be upset about what I'm upset about and then deal with you being upset. And then I also travel. Like I literally have been traveling almost nonstop for 2 months. And I would be in town maybe 2 days out of the week. Like that's how we started dating. I would see him on Sunday and I would see him on Tuesday.
Wow.
And it got a little better in between and then it got back to Sunday and Tuesday. And so when I was in town for a week, I wouldn't want to see him right away.
That's a sign.
And it's a big sign. I went to LA for a month and I didn't miss him. Like, that's a huge sign. And when I was with him, it was awesome. When I wasn't with him, it didn't matter. And I had a
girlfriend like that. In fact, she told me that. She said, you know, when you're here, it's great and I love it. But when you're not, I'm okay. And I'm just thinking, what do I do? I guess I go and I find some self-respect and goodbye. But why did you tell me that and assume that we're staying together?
Yeah, and I didn't tell them that. I hope right. he doesn't listen. But and he's awesome. Like I honestly really cared about him, and that's why I worked so hard on it. But it probably wasn't right, and it probably was for the time for it to end. It was a year and a half, and it would be one thing if I dated him earlier and I had never been like in love before. I wouldn't have known what was going on. But because I've been in love before, right. I was like, it's good, but it's not good enough. And that's kind of it's not that person. Right. But it's like, I don't have the energy to even try to see if this could be something.
Does he handle it well? Does he say, I can be the person in the meantime?
He's a good dude. He literally was like, you do your thing. I would like to be friends, but if you can't be friends, like I've emailed him a couple of times.
Does part of you think he caves too easily? That it like, hey, I don't want you to, but why aren't you fighting for this?
I think it would have been really painful if he did fight for it. I'm actually very grateful that he didn't. Like, right. like he told me later on that he said, I'm fine. And then later on, he's like, I wasn't fine. And I was like, yeah, I'm not retarded. Like, I knew right. you weren't fine, but
A and B, I don't date liars.
Yeah. But it's also like, I know from being on the other side of that, getting right. dumped and just having kind of like the rug taken out from under you. I know what it feels like to not be fine, but you need to tell people that you're fine.
Also. Yeah. You don't want to, once you tell people that you're not fine, you either have to deal with their emotions about how you're not fine. Oh, let me be all up on your shit. Or you don't feel like talking about why you're not fine.
Absolutely.
You know, if I'm out in the world, it might not be the right time for me to really delve into it. And also, if we're going to start, I'm not going to stop. Yeah. So if you have like half hour to an hour for me to devote my feelings, and that I talk a lot and you just console me, then sure, but probably we should schedule that
yeah.
and not do it at a comedy club or like at a hang with like 10 people that yeah. you might have to, you know, stop and chat with and whatever. So that's, I think when people are, you know, quote, not honest about their feelings, it just, it's timing. I'm fine in this situation right now.
But it's also like, we're breaking up. I'm not the person that takes care of you anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the other thing is that like, I'm literally breaking up with you because I can't take care of you anymore.
Do you worry what he like ate today? Is he okay?
He's a good dude and he has good friends. I think that's really hard when you break up with somebody and you are their life. I don't think I would ever date anybody. But like, I always say like, if I'm going to date somebody, they already, like their life is already happening. Like I'd rather be a cherry on somebody's life than be their whole Sunday. That's too much pressure.
If you are about to break up with me and I can sense it, right before you said to be like, hey, before you begin, let me tell you, I got rid of all my friends and family. Yay! What were you gonna say, sweetheart?
I think we've all been in that situation where you're the person's life and it's so much pressure.
Right.
And it's like, and
I've been in the other place where that person, I just make them my life. And I think that that's a young thing to do. I think that that's like a new to relationships because this other person feels so good. You actually become addicted. Like you feel less than when they're not around. So it's what an addiction is. I need it now. And so I think that's codependency. Yeah. And I think like I learned how not to, you know, where I would just be like, this is so boring because this other person's around, or I don't want to do it unless this other person's around. No one else is good enough to talk to because it's not this other person. But it wasn't true. That's the thing. I was just addicted. Yeah. So it's not that I couldn't have fun without that person. I had a lot of great friends and I was having fun. I was just clouded.
Yeah. This would all be better if we were high.
But anxiety.
Trust me, the audiences.
When you go to keithandthegirl.com, you'll see a thing you can click on that says guests. You click on that and you see the guests that were on. You can find them alphabetical order and you can see all the shows they were on. Find Liz Mealy, see the two shows she was on. And I see right here, looking at show notes, Liz shares her history of family tragedy and mood swings. The family has never been easy for you.
No.
I don't want to get too personal, but if you guys want to do some detective work, I bet all the information's there. Who knows?
Dude, you just watched my act for the last 11 years. Put it all together and you're like, oh, shit.
Also, whenever you said it's like the worst year and you think, okay, everything's happening all at once, I feel like it does that. Don't you get the sensation of, oh, this is how people go crazy.
Oh, dude, I now understand it. Like mental illness runs in my family. So I've always been very understanding of mental illness, aware of it, and then aware of myself.
Yeah, are you monitoring how crazy you allow yourself to be? Because I was doing that for a bit. You know, we had a really rough year. Like the economy went down. Keith and I broke up. Like the Keith and the girl was, you know, struggling financially because all of a sudden everything dried up. You know, it was very, very difficult. It felt like everything was happening all at once. And I had to be like, I had to make sure that I was letting things go in my brain so that I'm not stressing over everything. Like, you know what? It's not going to matter because it has to not matter so that I don't go crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I think I'm learning to have that ability. I think, I don't know. I think for my family, because there's people that crazy happen. It's the same thing like breast cancer runs in your family. So, you know, at an earlier age, your family looks for breast cancer or colon cancer or whatever cancer runs in your family. So for us, because mental illness runs in our family, we're kind of aware from teenage years to 30, have a little bit of an eye out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's just how our family is. It's never really been said like that, but that's how I always interpreted it because I've been told stories and I know things and how I grew up. It's there. So for me, I've always kind of watched how I reacted to stuff and went, well, this is it. This is the beginning. I'm 20. I said that. I looked over there. I did that. This is how it goes down.
You ever trip on something like, ah, oh, here it is.
Seriously. I'm psychotic. You're like, is somebody actually saying my name? You know what I mean? Like, you get to that kind of point. You always have that watchful eye. And like, I really didn't start. I started seeing a therapist when I was dating this other dude years ago. And that was kind of helpful. I saw another therapist and she's been amazing. And she kind of was just like, you're 28. You're fine. You know what I mean? You have emotion. And now I say it now that like I spent most of my life trying to deny that I was crazy. And now I can basically say I have emotional issues. I have emotional issues. A lot of people have emotional issues. Whatever it is, I have emotional issues. And there's certain things that I have to be aware of because they're bigger triggers for me because of what I dealt with in my childhood than other people that might have these issues. Now, there are people in my family that are mentally ill, and watching that and dealing with it and understanding that, you kind of have to pull back and go, well, you have what the world thinks mental illness is and what you understand mental illness is. My mom's mentally ill. My mom's awesome. My mom's one of my favorite people in my life. But there's my mom, and then there's this crazy person. And I know people have that seen the crazy person. I've shielded a lot of people from that crazy person, and I've defended that crazy person. But she's scary. She's super scary. But then this person that...
What's the mental illness there?
She's kind of like bipolar, manic, depressive. It's like that kind of mix or whatever. She doesn't really let us be a part of that. She just deals with it herself, and we deal with it when it kind of comes out. But she really has fought the whole process. But the thing is my mom has her own business. My mom has raised 5 kids. My mom is a pretty incredible person, even if she didn't have this problem. And then you learn about her family history, and then it just, she's a goddamn superwoman. But the thing is that when you're in it, you have to go, I've experienced this with strangers, and I've judged them. And I have somebody close to me that I can now say, I know why this is happening right now. I know what to do, and I know why it's happening. And that's kind of where my life has been, is starting to treat myself how I treated my mother, starting to treat other people in my life, how I would treat somebody that I know what they're personally going through this. And it's changed everything. It really has. You start to have a watchful eye, and you start to forgive yourself because you've seen it, and you know they can't control it, and it's going to be okay. And that's kind of how I spent the last couple of years of my life, and how I've kind of exploded. I've exploded at a lot of people. And now I started to realize, like, it's literally, when somebody explodes at you, it's literally them being like, I'm hurt. I'm really hurt. I'm hurt. And I started to realize, like, you start translating it like it's a different language, and it's amazing. I find it incredible.
I think the both of you, I don't know if you knew what you were doing. This is great advice. What am I going to tell you? You know, I'm dyslexic. But I think what you're really saying is Micah Fox should be nicer to her mom. And I wholeheartedly agree. The website is lizmeely.com, M-I-E, I before E always, you know that, M-I-E-L-E.com. Check it out. Check where she's performing. She's single. She didn't say she's looking, but hey, guys, she's single. What can I tell you? Rules are rules.
That's also, coming soon to the Damaged Web series, mm-hmm. Me and Keith Malley and Lauren Hennessy.
I'm so excited, guys. Oh, my God. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
It was uncomfortable doing a show about robots, but
what are you going to do? You loved it.
You want to stay rich, you got to stay on top, whatever it takes.
Don't forget to get Keith's CD on iTunes. It's called Good, Clean, Fun. Share it with everybody. Rate it, review it. Thank you so much for getting us to where we are now.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.